We've all read the headlines about post-traumatic stress disorder and how common it is among veterans. It's a huge mental health issue facing the country. But the truth is, it's not just veterans who suffer from PTSD. Nearly 1 in 10 Americans will develop it as a result of some kind of traumatic experience. So think about that. That's the population of Texas. Statistically speaking, you probably know someone who's had PTSD.
I was very much interested in danger and the beauty of violence. And I think as I spent more time in Iraq and saw more people wounded and saw the war not really improve, I began to question why I was interested in war and what that had done to my life.
David Mora spent 3 years reporting in Iraq before an IED explosion forced him to return home. In the years following, he says he was haunted by the memory of that attack. Something as simple as the sound of a garbage truck could send him into a full panic.
And this is what's sort of strange about PTSD is you find, and this is true for other veterans I've spoken to, is a lot of times something that will trigger you will not, you won't be able to exactly figure out why it's something that triggers you. And for some reason, and I don't know why, but dogs barking suddenly will really set me off.
David writes about his experience in his book, The Evil Hours. And one of the really interesting things about it is that he puts his own personal experience in a much bigger historic and national context. He really pushes us to rethink conventional explanations of PTSD.
I felt like everything that I heard in the media about it and that I heard from other people about it was simply a recapitulation of the symptoms, you know, hypervigilance, emotional numbing, and intrusive symptoms like nightmares and hallucinations. And to me, that was just a list, and it didn't get at the fullness of the story of PTSD, you know, the story that I think has been most richly told by novelists and poets and playwrights over history. And I think the scientists are really behind the artists on this one. They're really just trying to catch up now.
So one of the things that's really interesting that you point out in the book is that it's not just veterans who suffer from PTSD, and that in fact there are possibly more PTSD survivors in this country who are victims of rape than who went through wartime.
That's absolutely correct. And that's one of the most important things to know about PTSD is that we heavily associate PTSD with the American veteran experience. But if you could, by magic, line up every person in the world that has PTSD right now, you would find that there are far more female rape survivors than there are military veterans. Rape is the most common and toxic form of trauma. And just by way of comparison, about 15 to 20% of American, say, Iraq veterans will develop PTSD as a result of their time in war. But about 50%, 49% of female rape survivors will develop PTSD. So it's approximately 3 times more psychologically toxic than war. You know, I wrote this book because people kept talking to me about PTSD, and I suffered from it for a while because I was a veteran. But if I'm being completely honest, PTSD is a, you know, it's a women's rights issue.
There's another way in which you look at it in the book as a whole, kind of on a national level. You know, for instance, you talk some about like the decades following the Civil War when so many people were walking around having been traumatized that you could say the entire country had PTSD.
If you look at the history of the Wild West and the degree of violence that permeated that part of American history, it is inextricable from the Civil War. You know, roughly 25% of the population, you know, had left the war and had no training outside of how to sleep on hard ground and how to fight and how to march. So you had a whole generation of people that had no economic skills, had no life skills outside of fighting.
So are you saying that those the men of the old West, the Shanes and the famous cowboys and all that we mythologize, are you saying that when you actually look at their symptoms, they look a lot like PTSD survivors?
Yes. I mean, there's, I think if you look, if you consider the history of the Wild West and the violence that was not, the Wild West was certainly violent before, but the genocidal tactics of the U.S. Army emerged after the Civil War. The Colt revolver, the firearms that were used during the Civil War also helped create that culture of violence. I mean, it's sort of, if you think about it from just like a basic common sense standpoint, if when a young man is exposed and trained and lives for several years around firearms and violence, he tends to think of those things as acceptable behaviors.
You're really making me rethink the whole, you know, stereotype of the cowboy. I'm just thinking of all these loners, you know, who come into town a little jumpy, a little skittish, comfortable sleeping on the ground and only comfortable maybe with their horse.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's that echo effect of PTSD. You can see it in a lot of other areas in American history. The homicide rate and non-negligent manslaughter rate went up 107% during the Vietnam War. You know, we are seeing an increase in violence right now in the wake of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The veteran suicide rate doubled after 2001, after these wars began. And researchers don't really have a solid understanding for this, but it appears to be when a large war begins, it conditions the populace at large to accept violence and killing and murder as an option for how they can resolve a situation. And a researcher at the University of California, Santa Cruz, Dane Archer, looked at major wars in Western history and found that in every case during a major war, there was always an increase in the criminality and the murder rate during that war.
So how long do you think it takes for a country to recover from war?
Well, I don't know if you do, frankly. I don't think it's something that you can never conclusively say is over. I mean, to use a very convenient example, you know, right now there's a large debate going on about the display of Confederate flags. Mm-hmm. You know, the Civil War ended in 1865. Here we are, you know, over 150 years later, still wrestling with this very central issue of how can we even, do we recognize this Confederate war imagery? Yeah, so, you know, one war, and in this very horrific and grisly way, one war often leads to the next.
There's another thing I wanted to ask you about, because you have this wonderful kind of big historical overview. So if we were living in ancient Greece or the Middle Ages or some other period of time, veterans came back from war with PTSD, how would they have been treated?
Well, the Greeks are an interesting example because the Greeks did not think of PTSD or anything like it as something that their medicine would speak to. Instead, what the Greeks did was use drama and use what they called catharsis to reenact and to publicly transmit the trauma of war so that the population would understand it. And ancient Greeks would stage plays that were written by veterans, enacted by veterans, and that was how they processed trauma, was through art. And
that's so interesting, also through sharing the experience, but sharing it publicly. The entire community took on the trauma rather than us sending individual veterans into isolated rooms with therapists to get over it and hoping the rest of the time they just won't talk about it.
Exactly. And that's what's really interesting is the Greeks were onto something in the sense of communalizing the trauma and having the whole society, and not just the local community, but the entire society was forced to confront what had just happened. And these were not nonfiction plays that were being told. They were fictionalized accounts that allowed people to feel the feelings and process the feelings openly and to weep in public.
There's a line you quote that really kind of stuck with me where you said, every era casts illness in its own image. So I'm curious, what is our own approach to trauma and PTSD say about us today?
Well, to characterize, I think, the modern American approach to PTSD is to talk about the medicalization of everyday life. And we do think about PTSD from a very specific medical model, and we think of it as treating symptoms as opposed to addressing the story, the particular narrative of a patient. Mm-hmm. And so what I take away from that is that we have medicalized what used to be the realm of poets, shamans, and priests. And so it shows how secular and how ahistorical and how scientific and how medical our approach is to this very existential event.
David Morris is a journalist and a former Marine. We were talking about his book, The Evil Hours, a biography of post-traumatic stress disorder.